invite you now to be with me in a spirit of prayer. Gracious and loving God, we are listening. Listening for that which will help us live our lives, face the challenges of this day, prepare for what lies ahead. So open our ears, open our hearts, open our minds, open our eyes, that we might see and understand, and in the midst of my words, hear your word. Amen. Throughout Scripture, we are repeatedly invited, no, challenged, to love God with our whole heart. And the clear message is half-hearted is not an option, which is why I suspect David in today's psalm asks the Lord to give him an undivided heart, and then proceeds to give thanks to the Lord with his whole heart. Because when it comes to believing in God, following Christ, this is an all-or-nothing proposition. Lukewarm doesn't work. In the very last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, there are letters to a number of churches. And in the letter to the church in Laodicea, the Lord's message is clear. Would that you were hot or cold. But because you are lukewarm, because you are half-hearted, because you are wishy-washy, I will spit you out of my mouth. Well, that's pretty graphic. But it's a clear way of communicating that God wants all of us, not just part of us, and not just us when it's convenient. Jesus certainly spoke that message as well. In fact, as we encounter him today, speaking with his disciples, his closest followers, he is quite candid. No sugarcoating is included here as he talks to them about what is involved in following him. There's no bait and switch, and it's almost as if he's saying to them, if you want out, now's the time to say so. Well, none of them bail, at least not initially, but we do know as time went on that Peter would deny Jesus three times, Judas would betray him, and at the foot of the cross as Jesus hung dying, John was the only disciple present along with Mother Mary and a few of the women. Yet eventually they all rallied to do the work Jesus had entrusted to their care, all except Judas, who sadly was so overwhelmed by grief when he discerned the magnitude of the damage he had done that he failed to remember how much Jesus loved him, failed to remember that Jesus still wanted to forgive him, and in his utter grief and desolation, he ended his life. Discipleship is hard. A disciple is someone who accepts and spreads the teachings of another. A disciple is one who follows, not blindly, but thoughtfully. And sometimes, quite frankly, following is more difficult than leading. And when we choose to follow Christ, there is a cost involved. In our United Church of Christ statement of faith, we talk about the cost and joy of discipleship. Yet this passage of Scripture today in our gospel reading really focuses on the cost more than the joy. Reminding the disciples about the importance of taking up the cross, doing things that make them worthy in God's eyes, and then cautioning and reminding them to not be afraid, even though there are enemies out there. I like the way Eugene Peterson paraphrases this portion of Matthew's gospel. He writes, "Don't be intimidated. Eventually, everything is going to be out in the open, and everyone will know how things really are. Yes, there will be bullies out there, and they will attempt to kill the body, but they cannot touch the soul. Jesus also reminds his disciples that I haven't come to make things cozy for you. And he points out that sometimes family members can be our worst enemies. I found myself thinking about that as I recently finished reading Sue Monk Kidd's new book entitled The Book of Longings, a novel in which she imagines Jesus being married to a young woman named Anna. And it is through Anna that Jesus' ministry and life is described. And what is clear as Anna talks about Jesus' ministry and his calling and response to it, his family, his brothers, his mother, his relatives do not understand his calling and at times attempted to discourage him from following it. Repeatedly in today's gospel lesson, Jesus talks about being worthy. What is it that makes us worthy? Is it what we do, what we accomplish? What makes us worthy is being who God created us to be, no matter how imperfect our attempts at that may be. What makes us worthy is an undivided heart, loving and seeking to serve God with our whole being. Our net worth is not calculated in dollars by God, but in kindness, in wisdom, in grace, in gentleness. And God certainly does not deem certain groups of people more worthy than others. God does not deem certain groups of people less valuable because of their age or their condition, their ability or their citizenship status, their skin color or their gender. We are all precious in God's sight. What makes us worthy in Jesus' eyes is a willingness to take up the cross and follow him. The cross Jesus shouldered, the cross Jesus collapsed under as he carried it to Golgotha. But let me remind you, just as Jesus did not have to shoulder the cross all the way because Simon of Cyrene was recruited to help him, so we do not have to shoulder the cross alone. He shoulders it with us. What does that cross we are supposed to shoulder really represent? It is a rich symbol, representing many things, a symbol of sacrifice, of vulnerability, of pain, injustice, cruelty at its worst. But it is also a symbol of surrender, letting go willingly, new life, unconditional and undying love. Many of us wear crosses as jewelry. Some have tattoos of crosses on their bodies. Others display crosses in their homes, a constant reminder to us of the cost and joy of discipleship. Let me remind you also that following Jesus, taking up his cross, is not a cakewalk. It is certainly not a stroll in the park. It is doing the hard thing we think we could not do. It's hard work. You may remember last Sunday in the midst of worship, I made passing reference to a wonderful little book entitled The World Needs More Purple People. In that book, Kristen Bell and Benjamin Hart describe purple people as those who ask really good questions, laugh a lot, use their voice, and work super duper hard. They dig in and get stuff done, done together to change something that needs changing. Following Jesus can be super duper hard. It is hard work. But the work we do in response to following him isn't about earning God's approval. because we are still saved by grace through faith, and that will always be the case. But it does involve a willingness to, as Scripture describes it, lose ourselves so that God can find us and use us. Again, from Eugene Peterson's paraphrase, if your first concern is to look after yourself, you'll never find yourself. But if you forget about yourself and look to me, you'll find both yourself and me. Note, forgetting about self is not thinking less of ourselves, but rather thinking of ourselves less, focusing on others more. I think we would all agree that many are eager to follow Jesus, at first at least, but for most it doesn't take long to realize that following is not a sprint or a dash, but a marathon, requiring all we have to offer. And yes, sometimes it's super duper hard. My question is, are you game? Sue Monk Kidd wrote, the hardest thing on earth is to choose what matters. Are you willing to choose what matters? And having chosen what matters, are you willing to act upon it? Donald Miller, in his book entitled Blue Like Jazz, Non-Religious Thoughts on Christian Spirituality, writes, the trouble with deep belief is that it costs something. And there is something inside me that doesn't like the truth at all because it carries responsibility. And if I actually believe these things, I have to do something about them. It is so, so cumbersome to believe anything. Maybe so. But I would also argue that when we dare to believe something with our whole heart, it is also fulfilling, rewarding, and ultimately life-giving. And when we choose with our whole heart, with an undivided heart, to follow Jesus, the good news is he's going to be right by our side, running if we're running, walking if we're walking, hobbling if we're hobbling, limping if we're limping, valuing us more than we can fathom. You remember what Pastor Addie said just a few moments ago about his concern for every hair on our head. That is all the little details. So, do not be afraid. Twice in today's gospel lesson, Jesus says those words. Do not be afraid. I'm on this journey with you. So may we dare to take up the cross, this powerful symbol of surrender, sacrifice, and God's undying love. And may we dare to follow, unafraid, because we are not and never will be alone. Amen.